Introducing the new Remote Investor Incubator and eCourse. We had the mastermind, and we are going to break off from that being mostly an accredited investor group. And I wanted to create something that was helping out the little guy get started, the guys getting their first properties. And we are calling this the Incubator Group. Get more details at simplepassivecashflow.com/incubator. But basically what you're doing here is we're getting a group of professionals looking to build your network with others starting this journey to financial freedom. The e-course that's going to accompany this group is going to have 8 modules in a closed membership site plus 2 bonus modules and download kit, all geared toward educating the remote investor. In this group, we're going to have bi-weekly Zoom video calls. And if you join up, you're going to get all past turnkey rental recordings. Now, these calls are designed to ask whatever questions you have and hear the other questions from other investors in your shoes. And we're going to run this like a boot camp style. This is going to be a 5-month program where we're going to walk you through the best practices for tax and legal as you acquire your first remote rental. We're even walk you through the due diligence and offer process. We're going to have staff membership coordinators for extra support to get you over the sticking points and to connect you with the right people in the group, even if you're shy. One of the biggest reasons for joining is access to our ever-changing Rolodex of top turnkey companies, brokers, property managers, and insurance companies. Hey guys, we're basically spoon-feeding this to you. If you've been on the fence and it's time to get your first rental property, go to simplepassivecashflow.com/incubator. And by the way, for those accredited investors, we are looking for new members. Go to simplepassivecashflow.com/journey and join the flagship Simple Passive Cashflow Mastermind there. After the pandemic, it's a new world out there. Having a network around you is so much more important. Shoot me an email at lane@simplepassivecashflow if you're unsure if the incubator or if the accredited mastermind group is for you, but let's get you connected with other people and don't go it alone.
Hey everybody, this is the July 2020 monthly market update, where we go over the latest headlines and I add in my commentary on what's been going on in the world of real estate and the macro markets. You guys can check out past episodes at simplepassivecashflow.com/investor-letter. But let's start with the giveaway real quick for everybody. I call these the Easter egg. You guys can get access to the COVID-19 response folder. Now, I've been kind of adding things to this over the past few months. In there, you'll get the small business administrative loan docs, sample landlord repayment agreements so that you can make deals with your tenants, some small business owner guidelines, and great medical paper done by University of Hawaii while on COVID-19. Get all that and more by texting the word SIMPLE to 314-665-1767 and also introducing the new incubator group for newer investors looking to get their first few remote rental properties or turnkey properties. We pretty much guide you through the process and we put the group around you that's doing the same thing so you can build your peer group network. Learn more about that at simplepassivecashflow.com/incubator. And we are also doing an August 1st full day workshop. We're doing it virtually since, kind of coming out of the pandemic here. Some people are still a little afraid of going out in public. So you guys can join in. It's about going from 9:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. Pacific. You can check this out by going to all our events section at simplepassivecashflow.com/events. If you guys haven't met me before, my name is Lane Kawoka. I've still got my professional engineering license, and I have a podcast at simplepassivecashflow.com, found on Spotify, Google Play, YouTube, all of the such. If you're not part of our community, check us out on Facebook, great group on there. And I also have a local group here in Hawaii, but let's start with a couple of teaching points. So here's a little table that I found outlining why all we do passive investing and not wholesaling or flipping. And this is why I love house flippers, because they all pay all my taxes for me. They definitely pay their more fair share of the taxes here. So on the left side, you see some of the taxes that are put forth for rental buy and hold investors, how you can get around the self-employment tax, which can be up to 15%, and how you don't have any depreciation with wholesaling, flipping, no bonus depreciation there. We're writing off almost a third of the building in year one, which can be a huge tax write-off, negative K-1s. You can learn more about that at simplepassivecashflow.com/costseg, COSTSEG. And a second teaching point here, This is the difference between the EIDL and the PPP loan. I am currently applying for this, seeing what I'm getting. I think I'm going to be able to get a 3.75 fixed interest rate with a 30-year term, but I don't think I need it. You know, I mean, there's no really sense of taking out a debt if you don't need it. So I just kind of did it for the process and kind of let you guys know all about it. And so here's a little table. Again, if you guys are catching this up on the podcast version, we also put this on the YouTube channel. I guess you can probably just Google Simple Passive Cash Flow on YouTube and you can find our channel. A lot of cool stuff on there, a lot of things that don't find its way to the podcast or the website are put up on the YouTube channel. Because apparently that's how people find things these days. At least that's how I learned a lot of my stuff these past few years, just Googling it and YouTubing it. So here we get into it. I'm going to kind of go through this pretty rapidly. A lot of news. But yeah, let's kind of start off with the big elephant in the room, which is still coronavirus. This is an article I've been checking that's done by the New York Times, which is the coronavirus vaccine tracker. And they update this pretty frequently. And they actually have one approved vaccine approved for limited use now. Before, the last time I checked this last month, they had a bunch in phase 3 and phase 2, but nothing approved. So, you know, good news moving forward. I think Fauci was kind of alluding to something like this coming on, the way I kind of looked at it, the way his commentary went. But good news. I mean, we're getting there, and I think it's happening a lot faster. And I hear of all kinds of investing and venture capital, this, you know, government funding going to folks expediting this vaccine. One of the big news for those still picking up single-family home rentals or loans in their own name, you know, I think a lot of us are kind of getting on the bandwagon of being more of a passive LP investor, where the nice thing is you don't need to get the loan in your own name. You know, that's what the sponsors are for, to kind of get the debt in their name and to run the deal. But if you're still, you know, picking up deals on your own and getting those Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac loans, which you can get 10 in your name, 10 in your spouse's name, it looks like they're saying that the debt to income requirements are going away as a qualification criteria. So if you've been following that lately, debt to income ratio, I mean, there's a few ways to get there. I really don't know how to calculate it exactly, but it's taking a ratio between how much your debt payments are every month and then how much you're able to, how much income you're having. This is going away. And I know some guys who have large mortgages because they live in places like Hawaii or California, where you really shouldn't be buying a primary residence, in my opinion. And you guys can check out my commentary on that at simplepassivecashflow.com/home. A very controversial topic, so I'll let that go. You know, especially for the younger folks out there trying to build their net worth over $1 million, I would say stay away from home ownership. You know, use your money to invest. Your debt to income ratio was really bad because you have this large house that has a big debt payment, but doesn't bring any income. I mean, that there should tell you right there that it's not a good thing for your balance sheet. But apparently this DTI requirement is going away. And, you know, of course, the comments that happen on our Facebook pages or different places are, you know, the world is ending, you know, it's the return of the ninja loans. I don't think that that's the case. These lending standards loosen up. It's very slowly. And this has been happening over the past 5 years. I've been tracking it very closely. And I'm not getting too excited about this. But, you know, it's just a general movement towards opening things up. And this is just a different way of stimulating the economy as opposed to lowering rates. A little report for you, those of you guys living in Southern California, Los Angeles multifamily market is not doing too well. Less than a month after California's shelter-in-place order went into effect, LA multifamily data started showing early signs of headwinds. The average rent collected by 10 basis points, or contracted by 10 basis points on a 3-month basis as of March. So if you guys are looking on the YouTube, you guys are seeing the charts up there. Yeah, not looking good. And this is why I don't invest in primary markets like California in the first place. Invest for cash flow. The next headline we're talking about, the stimulus 4 is here. The House of Representatives passed the Moving Florida Act. I don't know how they keep coming up with these cool names. So it's an infrastructure rebuilding plan. It's more than 2,300 pages if you guys would like to read it all. This explaining exact detail how the $1 trillion is being spent, but it encompasses all types of infrastructure such as air, rail, highways, bridges, transit systems, alternative fuel, automobiles, broadband, and all types of energy, schools, housing, water. Now, when I was still in corporate America, I was spending the 2008 stimulus funds, which seems very similar to this. That was the high-speed rail back then. And I'll tell you, the money doesn't really find its way into the system into many, many years later, probably as far as 2012 to 2014. So what is that, 3-4 years later or so? But it's still saying, should the act pass the Senate, which is unlikely based on the comments from the Senate leadership. And those of you guys who are not aware, the House is controlled by the Democrats. The Senate is controlled by the Republicans. And a lot of heavy spending acts just don't make it through the Republicans. But some of the highlights, I mean, not saying that it's gonna be like this exactly, but this is the trend, right? And this is, you can kind of see where the puck is moving towards, like Wayne Gretzky says. So they're saying new markets tax credit national funding would increase to $7 billion from $5 billion. The rehabilitation tax credit application percentage would increase to 30%. This is the one I'm excited about. The renewable energy production credit will be extended through 2026 instead of 2021. We don't know if that means your solar panel cells will be still getting you that credit, but you know, that's the way they're pushing. And I think how this impacts a lot of us, especially in the mastermind, we talk about, you know, how to mitigate our taxes a lot. You know, one of the big ways obviously is, you know, bonus depreciation by going into good deals that do cost segs. That's number one. But for those with a active W-2 income and don't have the real estate professional status, their only options are land conservation easements and oil and gas deals to offset active W-2 income. Now, you know, I don't really want to go into details on that, but, you know, like the land conservation easements are becoming much, much more controversial, and oil and gas kind of sucks these days, right? I mean, if you've been watching the news, well, it went like negative on the futures or something like that. So the only third way is, you know, these solar energy credits. And about 5-10 years ago, there was this big thing where you could spend money frivolously. Well, I don't want to say that word, but people were basically using this as a loophole to get write-offs on taxes. And this looks like potentially one coming. So I would be on the lookout for this. So Procter & Gamble sells their headquarters in San Francisco and moves across the Bay to Oakland, which is a trend towards moving to less priced areas. So CBRE came out with a great report. Here are some of their findings. Turnover, which is defined as the percentage of total rented units not renewed each year. I'll repeat that again because it took me a few times to really grasp it. So turnover is the percentage of total rented units not renewed each year, fell from 47.5% in 2009 to 42.1% in April, the lowest level in 20 years. The decline in turnover has accelerated due to fewer tenants moving because of COVID-19 economic downturn. Turnover usually rises each spring, but declined this year due to lockout mandates and economic concerns. So the way this really plays out, you know, I can say, like, you know, across our 3,500 unit portfolio, right? As landlords, you're kind of, I was a little stressed out, you know, April, May collections. Obviously they turned out fine. I'm more than impressed at what happened. And I'm even more like bullish on multifamily workforce housing, right? Because I think we saw how the strength through a pandemic. But what they're saying is, you know, people weren't moving out because people were literally sheltering in place, and they weren't looking for a new place to stay. And landlords, and us included, you know, we were very accommodating towards people, you know, but I think turnover should probably pick up here. The South and West regions typically have higher turnover rates, and by property type, Class A assets typically have higher turnover rates. So people have been asking, you know, after the pandemic, what are some changes that are going to be designed into houses and apartments? Now, I don't know if this is the case. I think this is just an article made to satisfy a consumer or reader need. But this article is Design Changes for Life Changes, created by John Burns Group. First thing that they're citing is, you know, people are going to work from home. So flex spaces that can accommodate the home officer. So like nooks are going to be kind of popping up. or they won't. I don't, you know, I don't know. Who knows? In like 6 months, maybe everybody's forgotten about this pandemic thing. I can tell you maybe like 6 months ago, everybody was sort of freaking out about, you know, workplace or school shootings. And they're saying things like, oh, they're going to design all these buildings with curved hallways. So bullets, it's hard to kind of shoot people if you have curved hallways. And obviously now nobody cares about that stuff. It's just times have changed and people have forgotten. People forget very quickly. But anyway, getting back to the article here. So there'll be also changes in the kitchen design. The fewer people are going to want the great big open rooms that to include the kitchen, with more now wanting the kitchen to return to having some separation to hide the smells, mess, and noise. Garage configurations, now that families will now be able to have fewer cars per person, opening up the garage to multiple configurations. Front entry, the public entry will still need great street appeal and allow for a secure package drop-off. And I guess, you know, your Uber Eats or your Postmates. But the festival will also need better drop zone area for shoes, packages, leashes, etc. These are called mud rooms, will migrate from colder climates to provide a buffer between the outside and inside. Another thing that's emerging is home management centers. So this is where all the technology is stored, like the Wi-Fi and all the other appliance tech items. You know, think of like your battery for your Tesla home battery system. You have solar power cells. So some people will say the laundry room will kind of hold this type of stuff. And then as far as bedrooms, for space efficiency, the guest bath bedroom and the home office will likely be the same space for many families. For more other families, they would prefer a small bedroom for sleeping only, with the square footage devoted to other spaces. Still others will want a larger bedroom that will accommodate even more uses, including TV and watching. And this has been happening the last 20, 30 years, where previously you have larger bedrooms, but now the bedrooms are smaller and then the square footage is being transferred to the living areas.
If you've been following my journey, I've been selling my initial real property and transitioning into syndication deals lately for a more purely passive investment strategy. One critical part of my portfolio is the American Home Preservation Fund, or what folks in the HUI call AHP for short. George Newberry, once apartment owner, operator, and mentor to me, is now sponsoring the podcast. His private fund, which by the way also accepts non-accredited investors, cuts the middlemen out and allows you to invest directly with him to fight the mortgage crisis in America. Join him by purchasing distressed mortgages while getting a double-digit annual return paid monthly. Find something else better out there? Well, let me know. Feel good knowing that you are helping families stay in their home after buying their underwater note at a huge discount. Invest as little as $100 by going to ahpservicing.com/investors. And if you want the free Burn Zone book, please send me an email at lane@simplepassivecashflow.com.
I like to buy stuff.
Well, that's a liability.
This article came from wolfstreet.com. Sort of alternative news source, but very great insight. So they had on the left side here, the cities with the biggest percent increases in one-bedroom rents. Number one was Cleveland, Ohio, at a year-over-year change of 16%. Indianapolis was next, Columbus, Ohio, Rochester, New York, Chattanooga, Tennessee, Cincinnati, Ohio, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and St. Louis, Missouri rounded out the top eight. A lot of Ohio's there. And then on the right side here, the 17 most expensive U.S. rental markets. Ooh, you don't want to live in the top two. San Francisco, California, New York, and Boston, San Jose, Oakland are the top five. In there also are LA, Seattle, San Diego, Santa Ana, Honolulu, Hawaii at number 12. And then, but the important things that I want to point out are the big movers are San Francisco number one, San Jose number four, the most expensive ones. They almost dropped, San Francisco dropped 11.8% median asking rents from a year ago, and San Jose dropped 8%. Now, this is something I've been hearing just from my buddies living in the Bay Area, that rents are dropping, and this supports that entirely. You can see number five there, Oakland, California went up 4.5%, even though it's in the Bay Area, but it looks like there's a lot of people just running away from the San Jose's and San Francisco to go to Oakland. And, you know, that was the last article we just talked about, right? Procter & Gamble moving headquarters from San Francisco to Oakland. I guess the Golden State Warriors are feeling pretty dumb right now, moving from Oakland to San Francisco, but I'm sure they have the money. I think that's all been syndicated, and their model of building the equity for that Golden State Warriors was all syndicated by big passive investors. So that was interesting. I found that out when, you know, I think there was like that one guy who kind of pushed one of the players during the Toronto Raptors game, and then they said he was like one of the passive investors in the deal. So John Burns comes out with this summary image for the U-Haul report. And the U-Haul report is something we love to watch, this because the U-Haul report captures where the trucks are moving in the one-way trips. We like the U-Haul report over the van line report because the U-Haul report is sort of the budget way of moving. And as workforce housing class B and C, you know, regular blue collar folks or folks like myself who are cheap, this is how you move your butt over to the next place you're going to live. And then you hopefully have some beer and pizza for your buddies to help you. So the places that they're moving, of course, the places all in red are in the Bay Area in Southern California. And the green dots are, you know, Seattle, Portland, all pretty much all of Texas, a lot of Florida, a lot in the southeast. And they are moving away from, again, the Californias and I believe that's Chicago. And all in the Northeast, it's all right up there. Zumper came up with a lot of great data here on where bedroom rents were tracking. Some of the big takeaways here, I mean, we kind of talked about this, but again, yeah, I mean, declines in your kind of more big city areas. Yeah. Of course, as an investor, you're always looking at the submarket. You know, for example, if you're investing in, you know, like Dallas, right? I mean, Dallas is made up of a couple dozen submarkets. So you can't just frankly look at Dallas for data. Great place to start, but you got to dig in. That is if you're a more sophisticated investor. If you're not, well, you should probably just passively invest because this probably ain't the game for you. I've kind of got screenshots of all the data here. So if you guys want to check this out on the YouTube channel, you guys can check it out there. But I also put this all in our Facebook group. And then if you guys want to find me on Instagram, I'll usually post it on there. If you guys are first-time home buyers and rental property owners, don't do it alone. Make sure you join us on August 1st for the full-day workshop. There's a URL to register. It's a little bit hard to remember, but you can find it by just going to simplepassivecashflow.com/events. We're also having an after party in Honolulu if you guys can make that. And, you know, people are always asking, you know, like they're getting confused by all these masterminds and groups. We have kind of two programs. The flagship group is the mastermind and accelerator, which is, you guys can find information at simplepassivecashflow.com/journey. Now, this one's sort of becoming the accredited investor group. A lot of people are, you know, they've had a little bit of experience with single family homes, but they just want to invest as a passive investor and want to build their network with other accredited investors and learn how to vet syndication deals. Whereas the incubator group is more of a way to, you know, get your first rental property, get your feet wet, especially if you're a non-accredited investor. And there's going to be probably a lot more hand-holding and granular level tactics and steps to follow in this group that will help people. And this is kind of my way to kind of help people get started. I mean, when I got started, there was really nothing. I had to kind of fumble through it myself. And I got lucky. I worked with the right people. So moving on the monthly report, a real page reports as apartment demand rebounds, rent cuts disappear in most markets. So there's a nice little chart kind of showing the action from March, April, May, June, how new lease volume has changed and the executed new lease. Oh, this is kind of funny slide. Well, it's not. It's a bunch of bankruptcies. But so chapter 11, bankruptcy for 24-hour fitness. You know, I think you've been hearing that these guys weren't doing too well. And I think the COVID-19 and all the negative laws against, you know, do you need to wear your face mask or disinfect? And they just couldn't stay in business. So they're closing 132 locations, 41 in California and 26 in Texas. And then about a week later, GNC files for Chapter 11 bankruptcy, plans to close 1,200 stores. Now, I don't know if those two are are related? Probably not. That's just a kind of a bad joke. But also AT&T to close 250 AT&T Mobility and Cricket Wireless stores too. So that's pretty much the end of the monthly report. Usually we try and end with something. I guess that was the joke. That was the joke, guys. You know, 24 Fitness closes. Therefore, people can't get their supplements. Well, they don't need their supplements anymore, apparently. But now I'm going to roll into my personal report of what I've been kind of up to this last month. And I split them up into six sections based on the Tony Robbins six needs. And this is the way I check myself every month that I am scoring points where it counts. Because if not, what's the point? So first category here is kind of how did I get growth? How am I working on something getting better? So we closed a 140-unit Class A apartment in Lake Dallas. It took forever to close this deal because it was a HUD loan. So HUD loans are probably a higher level on the Fannie and Freddie loans. We had a 35.5-year amortization period. When you add it up with the other loans, it was like a 2.9% interest rate. So pretty amazing. And this was an A-class asset. So something I don't really have to worry about. And through pandemic, yeah, this thing cash flows. Number two, contribution. How did I leave the world a little bit better place? Well, this is the incubator group. And this is the group for those looking to pick up their first few rental properties. I wanted to find a way to fight back against the evil real estate empires out there that will trick people to come to these conferences, teach them how to raise their lines on their credit cards, and kind of swindle them into crappy real estate education that really everything out can be found there on the internet, including my own, and charge these guys like 20 grand, 30 grand, 40, some even 50 or $100,000 with after it's all said and done with all the upsells. Now, financial freedom is not for everybody, but you know, for those willing to put in the work, I think that you know it can be attainable by everybody, especially for those you know hardworking guys and gals in you know corporate America. You know, a lot of our folks are hardworking doctors, lawyers, engineers. I see no reason why you can't get financially free in less than 10 years if you're able to save at least $30,000 from your day job. So if you guys are new to the group, check out the incubator group. We are starting the next group on August 15th. So if you haven't, this is an application only. So check that out, simplepassivecashflow.com/incubator. Number three, significant. So I found this little meme out here. It says little wolf leading the pack. And this is the way I've kind of found significance for the stuff I do. This is why I work 12 hours a day, even though I don't need to. It's because a lot of people out there, they'll listen to a podcast or two, read a few books, and get this idea that there's something better than just going to their work every day. And little do they know, well, most people don't realize how much they're getting screwed over by mutual funds who are taking about a third of their profits, whether or not the price of the stock goes up or down. And for those who do realize this, they start to come into this world of real estate investing, but you need the people and you need the insight. And the stuff that I do is not really that hard, is at least what I think. I mean, it's just stuff I picked up along the way, and you know, it's not too hard to kind of just help people along the way and give back. And you know, that's what the incubator group is. And this is why, how I feel special, I guess. Now, how did I have a little uncertainty in this time? So of course the whole coronavirus thing has been stressful, I think, for myself and everybody. Here's the coronavirus tracker, and I had a screenshot of last month's where they were at. You can see how so much things have changed over the past month in terms of where the vaccines are. You know, will it be a V-shaped checkbox, U-shaped, L-shaped correction? Nobody knows. But you know, from my perspective, I don't really care because, you know, I mean, it appears everybody's for the most part paying at places I'm investing in. And, you know, I know a lot of times this is just a storm. If you can get out, you can survive through it, you'll be stronger at the end. And it's the people who are investing in things like hotel investments or short-term rentals, the Airbnb stuff, or, yeah, you know, those kind of sexy boutique, the luxury type of developments. You know, those are the people getting killed right now. And this is just a fat cutting time, in my opinion. This is where the workforce housing shines the best. How do I get some certainty this month? The trade lines have been chugging along. I mean, I think I make probably like $100 or $200 every week or two by doing this. I know I'm up to like $11,000 total doing this. If you guys haven't heard of trade lines are, so you can add somebody to your credit card as an authorized user. It sounds a little crazy, but look, I mean, I've done my risk analysis, and to me, I think it's a good amount of risk. I have found ways to safeguard myself by putting alerts on the credit cards, actually not even activating the credit cards, and been making a nice little side change on the side. And I think a lot of people like this because, you know, you just get a notification on your phone that you sold a trade line. It might be $100 or $300. And it's like, it's easy money. And, you know, I heard somebody said that, you know, when that $200 trade line gets sold, they take $100 and they give $50 to each of their kids. And everybody's having an awesome day that day. So you guys can read more about that on simplepassivecashflow.com/tradelines. And last but not least, how did I get a little love and connection this month? Well, I went on a trip. I actually left Hawaii amongst the pandemic, and I went to Huntsville. There we are on the left, filming some apartment tours, some of the assets we own down there. And we went to Dallas, met a lot of you guys out there. I think there were like 25 folks that came out. Unfortunately, we all couldn't take a tour because there were some restrictions on how many people could visit, but we all got to meet a lot of you guys in person. That was cool. And then, you know, went up to Cleveland, checked out the Rockefeller and a lot of these cool places, got to spend time with the wife. And yeah, that's what it's all about. Go and travel on business expenses. Some new podcasts and articles that I put out this past month. People really like the David McIlvaney podcast. They were recorded before the pandemic all happened, but a great commentary from a different perspective. I've been kind of following more family office and more industry type of influencers. To me, a lot of podcasts these days are just done by guys who, you know, want to syndicate stuff or really have no experience doing what they're doing. So I've kind of frankly stopped listening to podcasts. I mean, you pay for what you get. And it doesn't take much to do a podcast. I can do one. Number two, legacy. So this is a cool, there's a little download with this one. So if you go to simplepassivecashflow.com/legacy, there's a net worth tracker on there. But a whole bunch of ideas, especially for those of you guys building your estate trust, which you know, we try and help folks in our passive investor accelerator for the accredited guys, where a lot of that is, you know, just little ideas you have that you get from your network. Number three, the cons of the BRRRRs. I'm really not a fan of the BRRRRs. You know, it's all the kids doing it, which is great if you don't have a net worth of at least $500,000. You know, you got to take some risks. Number four, why would you do a bridge loan in an apartment syndication? I did a video on bridge loans. Number five, I had Benjamin Hardy who wrote, Willpower Doesn't Work. And then he has his book, Personality Isn't Permanent, which he actually sent to me a couple of weeks ago. So that was kind of cool. Great. I think that was a pretty good podcast. I mean, I've been doing a little bit more throwing out a lifestyle podcast here and there because let's face it, like, you know, once you've listened to 100-something podcasts of Simple Passive Cashflow, there's not much to this passive investing thing. Right? I mean, it's more about enriching your life. And then, you know, same thing, the workplace culture and young professional advice from Peter Yarowitz. The reason I brought him on board was because a lot of investors that will listen to this podcast are, you know, older and they have kids. So I was trying to bridge the gap between, you know, their kids and them. At least I was trying to. And then last and not least, but self-directed IRAs to invest your retirement funds. If you guys need a referral to like a QRP, solo 401k, or self-directed IRA, let me know. You know, there's a myriad of these guys. And you know, everybody kind of uses the same few ones for the most part. There's really no real reason to kind of waste time vetting stuff down from a list of 100. you know, start with this top three and just go from there, is my opinion. Some of the barriers that I've been working through. So I came home and the state of Hawaii wants to quarantine me for 14 days. So I think I'm on currently day 4. I'm in high spirits. I have lots of cold pressed juices and pre-made meals. And unfortunately, my CO2 tank that I make gobs and gobs of soda water every day is down. I might have to sneak out of the house and refill my CO2 container. This slide, I usually put what I bought, which are doodads, things that you burn your cash on. But I don't know about you guys, but through this pandemic, I haven't been buying too much stuff from Amazon. I don't know. Let me know if that's the same thing with you guys. And some of the lessons learned. So I read this book, Everything is F by Mark Manson. It's kind of a philosophical book that he uses the F word a lot. And it's kind of comedic, in my opinion, if you like that type of stuff. And he's a little raw and rebellious type, kind of the message of the book. It's a book about hope, by the way, despite the name Everything is F. I think a lot of us realize, like, there's a lot of media out there and it's designed to kind of put you in a tailspin and keep you glued to the screen. And it's a book that kind of keeps things in perspective, and ultimately we're all here to find the truth, right? So we are doing another book club. I think on October 31st is the next one. And we are reading What Would the Rockefellers Do? And you guys can sign up for that at simplepassivecashflow.com/lanehack. And what we do is we just hop on a call once a quarter and talk about the book. And one last Easter egg for you guys. If you guys want to download, then I just revised the 2020 Buy and Hold Analyzer for Single Family Homes in Excel or Google Sheet format. The reason why people like it is, like, I put down all the expenses you should have for your rental property, and there's some footnotes and some guidelines what it should be. So that's a $1,553 value, all for you for free. Just have to text the word simple to 314-665-1767. Check out the other Too Much Good Stuff on the website, and remember, this is just a infotainment podcast, and we'll appreciate you guys kind of supporting the show for this long. And if you guys have any other questions, shoot me an email at lane@simplepassivecashflow.com. And if you haven't gotten on the phone yet, let's set up a call, and let's get to know each other a little bit better. And I will see you guys next time. Bye.
This website offers very general information concerning real estate for investment purposes. Every investor situation is unique. Always seek the services of licensed third-party appraisers and inspectors to verify the value and condition of any property you intend to purchase. Use the services of professional title and escrow companies and licensed tax, investment, and or legal advisor before relying on any information contained herein. Information is not guaranteed, as in every investment there is risk. The content found here is just my opinion, and things change, and I reserve the right to change my mind. Above all else, do your own analysis and think for yourself, because in the end, you are the only person who is going to look out for your best interests.